Romans chapter 12. Now, Romans chapter 12 is a fabulous chapter. Paul has finished in chapter 9, 10, and 11 so much that he has dealt with about the salvation of Israel and so forth. And so now we're moving into something very practical for the church. And he's going to talk a lot about our ministry together in the body of Christ. But before he goes into the particulars of how we relate to each other in the body of Christ, he deals with two things that are very, very important in verses 1 and 2. And they both relate to the will of God. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about the will of God, and we're also going to talk about, since it's conducive to this study, the plan of God. Those are not the same thing. But before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. We're praying for two preachers this morning. We're praying for Brother Bear. What's his first name? Stephen. Steve Bear up in Buffalo, New York. And we are praying for Jeremy Wilson in Picayune, Mississippi. So let's pray for them. Let's pray for this service, Doyle, if you'll lead us, please. Amen. 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 Now, the will of God, which you see stated here in verse 2, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, the will of God is the same for everybody in this room. You don't think of it that way because we often confuse the plan of God with the will of God. But the will of God is the same for every Christian. As you're going to see in this study, it is also plainly stated in the Scripture so that we know exactly what it is that God wants us to do. The plan of God, different than the will of God, is different for each one of us. And it has to do with our walk with the Lord and the very things that He would have us to do in the service. And it's important for us to know that because He's going to, in the next part of this chapter, deal with specific different ministries that we have in the body of Christ. So the plan of God is something that you discover for your life as you walk in the will of God for your life. Okay? So let's first of all look at the will of God. And the will of God falls into several categories. We're going to return to this passage here, but first of all, the will of God is for our, listen, reconciliation, for our reconciliation. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The will of God for every person is to be reconciled to Him. And 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 9, the Bible says this, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So the will of God for every person is that they would come to repentance, that they would not perish. In Romans chapter 5, verse 10, the Bible says that when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by His death. And that once we're reconciled by His death, then we are saved by His life. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, He died for the sins of everybody. He gave His life a ransom for all to be testified in due time. and people who receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior are reconciled. You and I are ambassadors for Christ. Our ministry is a ministry of reconciliation to let them know Jesus Christ had died for their sins and that by receiving Him they can be saved. So the first thing, and we put it there first, because if you're not saved, the rest of this doesn't make sense. You've got to be saved first. So the first part of the will of God is reconciliation. The second part is sanctification. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 7. The will of God for your life after you get saved is sanctification. What is that? It has to do with you separating from the world and living in holiness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence. Concupiscence is just, it's just lust cut free. I mean, it just, without restraint. Which is you're seeing it today in our country. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have also forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. So God has called us to holiness. So the second thing then is your sanctification. That is, you're supposed to live a separated life and a holy life. It is not right for us to get caught up in the world. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. You use it, but you don't abuse it. You're of it, but you don't love it. And so he wants us to have some separation from that and to live lives that are holy. Now, just so that you understand, the will of God is not imposed on you like a rule. You didn't do anything to reconcile yourself to God. When you got saved, you trusted Jesus Christ. Likewise, your sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in your life. He doesn't expect you to be able to be holy just because He says He wants you to be holy. He expects you to be holy because He's inside of you. And the fruit is the fruit of the Word of God and the fruit of the righteousness of Jesus Christ and the fruit of the Spirit of God are bringing forth in you things that are testimony of the holiness of God working through you. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to do and to will of His good pleasure. And the worst and most miserable existence for a person is to get saved, be completely in their infancy of Christianity, come to a church where Christians are mature, and then try to live up to what they're seeing around them. Because it's not in them. They're not able to produce that. What you want is you want the Lord to produce that inside of you and then become that person that He wants you to be. So reconciliation first, then sanctification. Now back to Romans chapter 12 where we started. And the third thing concerning the will of God is this. Reconciliation, sanctification, then this. Presentation. Presentation. Look at verse 1 again, Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, what is it? That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, there's that sanctification, acceptable unto God, watch it, which is your reasonable service. So we are vessels, and the Lord Jesus Christ lives inside of us. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And what He wants is He wants the liberty to do with you as He chooses. A fellow that we talked to one time, who's now gone on to be with the Lord, was concerned about his soul, wanted me to tell him about salvation. And after I told him about the free gift of salvation in Jesus Christ, he said, what's the catch? And I said, well, there's really no catch. He said, no, really. I mean, you know, what does God expect of me if I receive His Son, Jesus Christ? I said, well, if you want to call that a catch, here's what He expects. He bought you with a price. He wants you to receive Him so you can be saved, but then He wants control. As a man said, and you've heard before, the resident wants to be the president. So He wants control. So that's and so what you have to do in order for that for him to have control of your life is you've got he's not going to just wrangle you down for control of your life. He wants you to present yourself to him as a living sacrifice, and then he'll run it like he wants to. Now, I promise you, you'll be happier and more content, more satisfied, and more successful if you let him run it. He designed it. He knows how it runs. All right, so that's the next thing, presentation. And then verse 2, it continues on, and the next part of the will of God is transformation. Presentation and then transformation. He wants to make you into something that you're not. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right, well, when you got saved, depending on how old you were when you got saved, you were conformed to the world. Even if you were young and grew up in church, you were conformed to the expectations of those that taught you and those that raised you. In other words, every child goes through this. By the time a teenager hits 18, 19, 20 years old, somewhere in there, if he grew or she grew up in church, pretty much their faith is their Sunday school teacher's faith, their pastor's faith, their parents' faith. They really have not been tested. As one young man told me just recently, he said, I got real good at putting good-looking clothes on the old man. I really did not know what it meant to be living the life of a Christian as a new man. And you don't know that generally until you get a little bit older. And so you are conformed to either the world or this standard of righteousness that you have seen and experienced growing up in church. And what he says is, I want you to be transformed. And he says that transformation is going to take place by a renewing of your mind. So it starts on the inside and works itself out through onto the outside. But he says, I want you to start thinking differently. Why? Because the world thinks one way, God thinks another way. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than yours. So he begins to transform the way of your thinking. He says, if you're going to think about anything, I want you to think about those things that are just, those things that are true, those things that are honest, those things that are just, those things that are pure, those things that are lovely, those things that are of a good report. He said, think on these things. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, those six things. Well, we don't normally think like that. So you start thinking that way. God's renewing your mind through the Scripture, the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, through your study and meditation upon those things. And as your mind changes, you quit looking like the world, and He's transforming you so that you can be now conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He puts you in something over here where you start proving that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's a transformation. And if you lived as a lost man for a period of time and had friends out there in the world, got saved, started coming under this kind of preaching and teaching and reading that Bible and changing, you would go back to some function like a high school reunion, go back to something like a funeral where you saw a bunch of your friends. And you know something, if you'd been away from them for a period of time, they saw you, they'd say, man, something is way different about you. Way different about you. And that's that transformation. And it's the will of God. All right, the next thing is submission. Submission. All right, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. The will of God for your life, reconciliation, He wants you to be saved. Sanctification, He wants you to be holy. Presentation, He wants you to present your body as a living sacrifice. He wants control. Transformation, He wants to change you so that you become like a child of God. And then submission. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors or as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now, unfortunately, we live in a society right now where the good guys are the bad guys, and the bad guys are the good guys. And that's a tragic thing because the people who are ministers of God to keep law and order in our society are now vilified. It's not a good thing. You know what you need to do? You need to go ahead and do what God said you ought to do. And you don't vilify the guys that are trying to do the right thing. Don't do that. You know what you do? You submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. And the funny thing is, if you will do that, you will be fulfilling the will of God. Because he says here, 15, so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So you're to be law-abiding citizens. You say, well, what if the rule of the king, what if the rule of the governor, what if the rule of law enforcement turns against the rule of God? Well, first of all, let me say this. When we pray for those that are in positions of authority, we are to pray for them that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Yesterday, were you able to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty? Were you? I was. How about today? Yeah, we are. In other words, there is nothing going on in our country right now, despite the fact that we have seen a terrible moral shift. There's nothing going on in our country right now where there is a law that is preventing you from doing everything that God has told you to do. So you can, now what happens if the laws change where suddenly they are contrary to the Word of God? Well, then you obey God. If the law of the country says, Welder, you can no longer preach the gospel in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I will preach the gospel in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in Acts chapter 5, Peter told that council that told him he couldn't do that, we ought to obey God rather than man. But they hadn't told us we can't do that. So there's no reason for you not to be law-abiding. You say, well, what about these policies concerning homosexuality and same-sex marriage? Nobody's telling us that we have to marry them, and nobody's telling us that we have to hire them. We're a church. We're separated from that. See? So you get to continue. What if they say, well, no, you're going to have to hire them now? Even if they're lost, then we're going to have to take a stand because the Lord doesn't allow us to do that. Can we minister to them? Absolutely. Should we minister to them? Some of my preacher friends say that's the rejected harvest right there. Absolutely. They need Jesus Christ. But not to compromise His Word in any way, shape, or form. Okay, so it's very easy for you to do that. Now, if you're not a law-abiding citizen, if you're cutting the corners on things, you're not fulfilling the will of God in your life. I won't go over the various things that the Lord has dealt with me in my life about those ordinances, nor will I expose you to everybody in the congregation today for those areas where you are not in submission. You know who was the king at the time that Peter wrote that? Nero. You know who killed Peter? Nero. And he says, you're going to submit. All right, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. After submission, there's another one that concerns the will of God, and it is devotion. Devotion. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. You have an employer? With fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers. That is, you always work harder when the boss is around, not so hard when he's gone. But as the servants of Christ, he's always around, he can always see you. Doing the will of God from the heart with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So the next thing concerning the will of God is your devotion. You say, well, I don't have a very good employer. Yeah, but you got an employer and he pays you, right? All right, then you work for him the same way as if he were Jesus Christ himself. Now, you know what I've noticed? I've noticed when people have employers that are difficult, but you start working for them as if you were working for the Lord Jesus Christ, somehow or another, y'all get along better. And for sure you get along better with the Lord Jesus Christ, because he says, look at that guy. The employer's not all I get, but he's working just as hard as if he were working for me. God recognizes that, and he rewards it. And that's the will of God. Now, don't you know that's a great testimony? There are times when employees have been that kind of employee to an employer that's been pretty tough. And over time, God has used them as a testimony to open an opportunity for a witness to bring that employer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can't do that by belly aching every day and showing up late and leaving early because you don't like him or her. Amen. And the last one is gratification. Gratification. Not yours, but the Lord's. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. I know that gratification is often like I eat ice cream for gratification. It pleases me well. As a matter of fact, in Spanish, when you say that you like something, don't you say me gusta? It pleases me. Okay. Well, we're not talking about self gratification. We're talking about thanking God in everything. Verse 18, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What is? In everything, Ephesians 5:20 says, for everything, you need to give thanks. Be thankful in everything. You know what I've learned about our society? We're getting less and less thankful. You get graduation notices from friends of yours who graduate from high school. You send them the gift card that they want, and you never hear from them again. These days, it's, you know, I didn't grow up in this generation, so but I live in this generation, but there's some things about it I really don't like. And in my mind, a text message is not a good thank you note. I want one that's written and stamped. And you know why that is? I keep them. The good ones, you know, the ones that just say, thank you for the gift card, yours truly. Well, it does. It ends up in file 13. Boy, there's some thank you notes that I have in my files that are Jim Dandy's. Boy, they were better than the gift. They were better than the gift. It was worth giving the gift just to get the thank you note. Fabulous. And I keep them, and I read them from time to time. You know what? The Lord is the same way. He's poured it out for you, and he wants you thanking him continuously. That is the will of God, that you thank him. You say, well, what about when I lose my job? Or yeah, he says, in everything and for everything, be thankful. You see, the problem is, and we'll move quickly to the plan of God. The trouble is, when you're at this phase, right in the middle of a bad thing, it's hard for you to remember all the good things that led up to that, and you have no way of knowing all the good things that God is going to do through this phase that you're in. And he says, I just want you to be thankful. Why? Because it is a great expression of your trust in me, that I've been good to you all the time up until now, and I'm not going to quit being good to you from now on. And so you thank him with a smile on your face. Thank you. All right, that's the will of God as disclosed in the Bible, right there. Now, let's talk about, since we're on the subject, let's talk about the plan of God. The plan of God, unlike the will of God, is unique. But many people confuse the will of God with the plan of God. And you got to remember, the will of God is the same for every one of us. God wills that all believers do the things that we've just looked at. But you know what the case is with most Christians? And let me tell you something. When I was in high school, when I was in college, I was asking the same questions. And those questions were, what is God's will for my life as far as finding a spouse? What is God's will for my life as far as finding a job? What is God's will for my life as far as my education? What is God's will for my life as far as my future? You know what all of those questions pertain to? The plan of God. They don't pertain to the will of God. Now, does God have a will about those things? Yes, but it unfolds itself as a plan. So this is a common mistake to confuse the two. Here's what I say. If you, listen, if you seek the plan of God without doing the will of God, you're going to find neither. If you seek the plan of God without doing the will of God, you will have neither. But if you do the will of God, then you know what? His plan will begin to unfold in your life. It's His plan, not yours. And He will unfold it as He desires, in the time that He desires, in the manner He desires, in the place that He desires, and according to the plan that He desires. So you say, well, good, then I want to know the plan of God. How do I find it? Because it has, you know, it's something that comes to you on a pretty much a day-by-day basis. All right, the plan of God is found through these things. Number one, the Word of God. Romans 10:17. The plan of God is found through the Word of God. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now listen. Listen. If I go, Moses described the righteousness which is the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that it is bring down Christ from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith that the word is nigh thee, even thy mouth and thy heart, which is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And none of it's getting in. I'm not hearing the Word of God. And there is a difference between just satisfying the calendar and hearing what God is saying. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. All right then, faith comes, listen, from hearing what God says in His Word. The Bible, listen, the Bible speaks to you as you believe what you read and humbly follow what it shows you to do. God is not interested in you accumulating a whole lot of knowledge about it as much as He is you listening to what He said and doing what He said. Doesn't the Bible said, be doers of the Word and not hearers only? Amen. All right. So the plan of God is found through the Word of God. As you read, God speaks to you. He revealed Himself by the Word of God when He revealed Himself to Samuel, and there's a voice in those words. So He's talking to you and He's showing you what He wants you to do. Secondly, the plan of God is found not only through the Word of God, but it's found through the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. All right, when you get saved, you're a son of God, and the intention is that you are to be led by the Spirit of God. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. All right, so when you get up in the morning, well, when you go to bed at night, the Spirit of God should be the one that's getting you to bed when He wants you to go to bed, and getting you up when He wants you to get up. All right, and you get up in the morning, it is the desire of the Spirit of God to lead you where He wants you to go. Do you know how He leads you? He leads you, listen, very gently. When I was a child, we growing up on the ranch, we had a remuda. Those of you guys that have been around horses and cattle know what a remuda is. Remuda is the word for a herd of horses. And we had horses that were used to work cattle. And when the remuda came in every morning before daylight, the cowboys would go out and rope horses and then get bridles on them. And I can remember them rearing up and kicking and every other kind of thing, tighten up those cinches, or jump on the saddle, and then it's a rodeo for the next 15 seconds, you know, with a lot of stuff going on, you know, neighing and some other things and retightening girths, and that's the way they liked it. You know, that's not gentle. And the Holy Spirit is not interested in a rodeo. He's not interested in waking up in the morning and chasing you around the corral and roping your neck and tying on a saddle and spurring you and beating you right between the ears with a 2x4 and a bunch of nonsense going on until He gets control of your life and then leads you the rest of the day. He's not interested in that. And so if you get up in the morning and you just got all that pitching and bucking in you, it's not going to be a good day between you and the Holy Spirit. Because he's not going to mess with that. The Holy Spirit is gentle. The truth of God, the wisdom of God is gentle. What he's looking for, one of those horse whisperer kind of things where he walks in the room, he's got his hands out like that, and you're just like, yes, sir, glad you're here. You know, and there came a time when that Ramuda calmed down. Everything was different. We had different foremen and handled it differently. And you could even walk up to those horses out there in the horse trap. You just gently put that saddle on, buckle them up, get on, and you don't have a rodeo. You have a nice, calm ride. You do, and so does the Holy Spirit. That's how he leads. So here's what I'm saying. He leads gently. So if he speaks to you very gently about something like, give a tract to that fellow, and you disobey, he's not going to bother you with it. He's not going to bother with you. He's not going to, you know, punish you for it. He's just going to be grieved. And the Bible says, grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed on the day of redemption. He wants you to be responsive to and sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life. And when you are, that plan will reveal itself. When you're not, you won't know what the plan is because you're over there too much, you know, having a rodeo. And he's not in for the ride. All right, so by the Spirit of God, the plan of God is also found by the faith of God. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Second Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Trust in the Lord, that's faith, with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It takes faith. You've got to trust him. You know what I have found in all the years of being in the ministry, when people come in and we'll talk about things, and usually they're trying to really sort out some problems in their lives. You know what? They hadn't been in the Bible. They've not been responsive to the Spirit of God because they've been grieving the Spirit, usually very fearful about their circumstances, and they hadn't been trusting God. You know, when you find that, you don't see the plan of God unfolding in your life. He's got the plan, but he wants us to trust him to unfold that plan to us as he desires. Now let me just add this caution. Don't spend so much time looking, because we walk by faith, not by sight, looking for open doors. A lot of times people get a little bit impatient and they start looking for open doors, and they'll see this, what they think is an opportunity of God calling, and say, whoa, there it is right there. Look at that. It's an open door of opportunity, and jump at that thing. And I'm going to tell you something. You got to be careful because that might be a trap door. God doesn't need, if you're following these things, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the faith of God, if that door is open, it will open of its own accord. God openeth and no man shutteth. If it's not, if it's a trap door, if it's a neat presentation to pull you off track, if you just continue walking patiently with God, he may take you right past that door. I'll tell you where people get in trouble with this is they're too hasty to make the plan of God as they see it work out in their lives according to their time. You get in a lot of trouble with that. You got a lot of trouble with that. You got to back off. It's his plan, and he's revealing it to you in accordance with his. Have you ever talked to somebody and they finished a sentence for you? Because they thought they knew where you were heading? And then you got to stop and say, you know what? If you would let me finish what I was going to say, you'd find out that that's not what I was going to say at all. You ever had that discussion at home? You know what that is? That's somebody that's anticipating the plan. And you don't want to anticipate the plan. You want to follow the plan. Follow the plan. Don't anticipate the plan. All right, here's the next one. Plan of God is found through the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the faith of God. Listen, the counsel of God. Turn to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, look at verse 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Look at Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. So you're going to find a number of verses in Proverbs direct you to seek counsel. Because he says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, and the multitude of counselors, they are established. So as you seek the Lord in the Bible, as you trust Him by faith, as you follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, seek counsel. I mean, in other words, don't seek counsel without those three things, but as you do those three things, seek counsel. As needed. You don't have to come in and ask everybody, hey, is it okay if I go to the bathroom? I'm just going to get some counsel on this real quick. You don't need that. You need counsel when you've gone through those other three things. There's a little bit of uncertainty about them, or you're being directed by the Lord to do it. I've been in the ministry 30 years. Well, I've been serving the Lord 30 years. I've been in the pastorate now 24 years, and there are men that have been in the ministry longer than that, 30, 40 years, and the Lord has really blessed their ministries. And there are times when we're trying to make a decision here and I'm uncertain about it. You know what I do? I pick up the phone and I call and talk to three or four of these guys and say, and I don't sit there and say, now, here's what I've already decided to do. Do you agree? That doesn't work. Because you know why? Then it's either yes or no. You don't really get any counsel out of that. All you're looking for is confirmation or maybe somebody shut the deal down. And they're not going to shut the deal down because a good counselor doesn't make the decision for you. A good counselor just gives you counsel so that you can make the decision. All right, so you go to get the counsel and you listen. You say, you know what, I'm facing this kind of a situation here. What do you think? And then you listen. And two things will happen. Number one, if you have two or three counselors, you're going to find that the counsel, though it is not, they're not saying exactly the same thing, they are all running along the same vein that gives you some confirmation about where you need to go. Secondly, they are refining your thinking. You're hearing things you hadn't even thought of, and you're like, whoa, that makes this crystal clear to me. I got it now. And so that really, really helps you. Listen, what will happen, the preparation of the heart of man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord, the Bible says. So what will happen is God will prepare your heart to receive the counsel. God will prepare the heart of the counselor to speak what He wants you to say for the sake of that person who comes. And that counsel is something that God will actually use to help you making decisions. Very, very valuable. So it's a word of God, spirit of God, faith of God, counsel of God. And let me give you one more thing, the prayer of God. Or actually, I should say the prayer to God. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, you can write it down. Most of you can quote the verse. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, should keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That is, listen, when you are in the will of God, and you are walking in the plan of God, the Lord gives you a peace that passeth all understanding. In other words, the will of God, or these things that are stated, and the plan of God are being fulfilled in your life, and the plan of God has taken you into troubled seas. Did the Lord, by His plan, ever lead His disciples into troubled seas? Yeah, they were nearly swamped in a fishing boat one time. Jesus is asleep. Right? And that was the plan of God. He led them into the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus was arrested, and they all split, the troubled waters. 3 days and three nights he was in the tomb, and they didn't know where he was. Troubled waters. Yes, the plan of God will often lead you into troubled waters. But listen, if you know you're in the will of God because you're doing those things that we've already discussed, and up to that point you have been following the leadership of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, good counsel, and the Spirit of God into this thing that now has you in troubled waters, you know what you need to keep you in those troubled waters until God's plan takes you out of those troubled waters? You need peace. And you know what the Lord did when he woke up? He said to the wind and the waves, he said, "Peace, be still." And that's what you need, is the peace of God. And the funny thing about it is, when you and I are in troubled waters, we've been there, we're going to be in them again. You know what you first do? You question whether or not you're in the will of God. When you're in troubled waters, you question whether you're in the plan of God. We all do. Because you want to be sure, if I'm in this because of something I've done wrong, God, show me, search my heart, and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I mean, if I got here because of something that I did, because you're not presumptuous, I know I'm in the will of God. I know I'm in the plan of God. Storm raging, house coming down, God's will. You know, that you're not presumptuous. You're back in there. You're like, man, where did I go wrong? And the Lord says, you know, you're where you need to be. Peace. Peace. You're where you need to be. Storm will pass. Okay? And you know what that'll do? That will allow you to ride out the turbulent waves until the storm passes. Because the peace of God is a buoyancy to you. I'm telling you what, I used to despise guys that say to me, well, I prayed about it and I got peace. And the reason I did is that so many of them ignored the first four things we've just talked about. Went over there and prayed till a spirit gave them some peace. And they said, this stupid thing that I'm getting ready to do that everybody else believes is a stupid thing, I know is okay for me because I got peace about it. That's just foolishness. And so I despise it. But you know something? After I learned what the Bible was saying and I realized you do these other things and you have peace about it, man, I'm telling you what, that is such a comfort. There is so much of God in that. The Spirit of God, love, joy, peace, he just settles you down and said, don't worry about it. We'll get you through the storm. Now, let's conclude with this. The will of God is more about who you are. The will of God is more about who you are. A grateful Christian. A submissive Christian. A living sacrifice. A transformed person. The will of God is more about who you are. The plan of God is more about what you do. So that's why you don't want to confuse them. Because you're not going to become what you need to become by doing something. You become what you want to become by being in the will of God so that God can then do with you what he wants to do. Here we go then. Be obedient to the will of God and it will be much easier for you to discern and do the plan of God. Become who God wants you to be, and the Lord will direct you in what he wants you to do. And that's the will of God and the plan of God. Amen? Father, thank you today for an opportunity to see clearly from the Scripture these things that affect so much of our daily living with you. Help us, Father, to learn, discern, and do the will of God. Help us, Father, to be patient as you unveil to us and lead us through the plan of God in our lives. We ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.